Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
Sure, we may be reaching the very end of corn season, but we absolutely had to do a corn-themed show before winter set in. The two recipes today are best when served with fresh corn, but really, you can use them in other ways and in other dishes throughout the year. Intrigued? Well, stay tuned. Soon, you may see another color of corn on the tables at your local farmers' markets. Researchers at Purdue University are working with orange corn to build up vitamin A levels and hopefully fight childhood blindness in Africa. Torbert Rochford, professor of agronomy at Purdue, led this study. He says foods that are high in beta-carotene, like carrots, just don't grow well in parts of the world with malnutrition and lack of calories.
The problem is that in the last 30, 40 years, our diets have become less diverse in parts of the world. And they eat more cereals. That's predominantly what they eat in parts of Africa. They will have three meals a day that are all just come from ground corn. And it's not that expensive to buy relative to fruits and vegetables.
Orange corn would be new to Africa, where they mostly eat the white stuff. And hey, it'd be new to the U.S. as well. Rochford says American eaters would benefit from this high-vitamin orange corn. It's associated with something called zeaxanthin, which is a xanthophyll found in parts of the eye, like the retina and the macula.
The U.S. population is actually somewhat deficient in xanthophylls, and that leads to an increase in macular degeneration. And you can prevent it through a good diet, but once you have, there's nothing you can do.
Something to emphasize, he says, is that this is not GMO'd corn. The researchers are just employing natural selection, something that's been happening for millennia.
The Aztec Indians and the Maya Indians, they were corn breeders. They selected corn for different colors. And this is a big, big part of my research, is that we're using natural variation because in Africa, there's no country that has the biosafety, regulatory, and approval process to let GMOs come in.
But what about the taste? Though there has been no formal taste test, Rochford says he likes the taste better than yellow corn.
Carotenoids are aromatic. They do impart flavor. What we're excited about is if young children in Africa grow up with orange corn, and there actually is a flavor that actually does taste better or is distinct, then they get used to that, and that's what they want to eat.
Read more about Torbert Rochford's research with orange corn at Purdue University on our website, eartheats.org. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter for foodie news and notes all week long, facebook.com/eartheats and twitter.com/eartheats. If you're buying up the last few ears of fresh corn at the market, consider preserving them to enjoy into December and January. I spoke with our resident preservation expert, Amy Jean Roy, to get some suggestions. I caught her in the kitchen in the middle of a huge canning project.
Well, my husband found someone who had four more boxes of tomatoes, so I canned 30 pounds.
Amy uses a bit of an unusual recipe when she's preserving corn. She says it goes against everything you've been taught about canning.
But it works. I use it year after year. It's so easy that I like to use it as a beginner recipe for a lot of the younger people are asking, oh, how do I get started doing all, putting food up for the winter? And I'll say, hey, the corn's going right now. Why don't you cut it off the cob and do this to it? It's just a good beginner recipe for starting to put things away. Not so daunting as some people think canning can be.
What you'd do normally to preserve corn is you blanch the ears, then shock them in cold water, slice the kernels off the cob, put that and the corn liquid into a canning jar, heat it up to just about simmering, then freeze it. Jean Roy's recipe, on the other hand, is much simpler. Cut fresh corn off the cob, mix it with water, sugar, and salt, and bag it up, and you're done. And her family seems to like it. She uses this corn in a variety of ways in her cooking over the winter months.
For our family, I like to freeze it in 4 cups in a bag for some of it, because that I use in my corn chowder or my fish chowder, potato, any kind of cream-based soup. And then for 2-cup batches, that's just a side dish. So all you would do is take it out of the freezer, thaw it, and heat it up, and it's ready to serve.
Check out Amy Jean Roy's blog post about this rebel method for preserving corn. Let us know if it works for you as well as it does for her. Read the post and write a comment at eartheats.org. Here's a perfect example of how to use the preserved corn, our corn and avocado chowder. The man in front of the stove today is David Wade, the owner and manager of Inner Chef in Bloomington, Indiana. He's doing a cooking demonstration for some hungry onlookers.
Again, when it comes to like any kind of these kind of soups, prep is like the thing. It's prep. Just took fresh corn, got it, get it going here. We have whole cilantro. You don't have to chop it because it's going to go in a blender. Yay! Green onions in the blender. Yay! Some cayenne. You know, this is going to be up to your taste. The cumin.
Freshly ground this morning.
Oh, yeah. Even better. The avocados. It's probably the hardest thing to deal with. If you've never dealt with an avocado, you can cut right around the pit like that. Twist open. That part's done. That's easy. Because what you're going to do is you're going to plop them out into the blender and just blend all this stuff up. Avocados always need salt. I'm sorry. I'm just one of those people. Whenever you make salsa or guac or whatever, it always needs salt. Veg stock or chicken stock. It doesn't matter which. As long as you can open the container. Lime juice to really give it a good... Woo, did you get squirted?
You squirted me, David.
I'm sorry. Easy now.
This really just looks like guac.
You know, it kind of is like guac, but you don't have all the green pepper and all that kind of stuff. You can ice this down. You don't want to let it set too long because it's going to start turning a little brown on you. That's why we add the lime juice. The citric acid really keeps that from happening. And it also adds a great ton of flavor. I started thinking about this a few days ago since there's so much cream in this. Would this work in a whipped cream dispenser? Wouldn't that be interesting if you could like actually make like a mousse or foam, something out of it? Because I think it would be really kind of cool.
Hey, if you try this, we want to hear about it. Write us with your stories about avocado foam, eartheats@gmail.com. And if it works for you, send us a picture. From eartheats.org, scroll down to the bottom right and add your photos to our Flickr page. Looks like we're now ready for step two of the chowder.
In this pan, we're going to use basically the same types of flavors. We're going to put in the corn, the scallions, we're going to put in a little bit of the cilantro, not much, and more of the spices to get that toasty is what you're basically doing, is you're kind of toasting this up. The corn will become very sweet, very fragrant, and that's what you're going for. So you're going for more of a smell than a doneness. One of the key things I've learned in the kitchen when you're cooking is get your food in the pan and walk away. I mean, not walk away, but leave it. Don't touch it. Let it cook. Yes, it's not doing you any good. It makes you feel good, but it's not really getting that crust that it needs. Now we have, I can start to smell this, and it's starting to stick a little bit to the bottom of the pan, which is fine, because that's the sugars are coming out. Notice what was not in here. What ingredient was not in here, which absolutely blows me away? Garlic. Uh-huh. Not one chunk of garlic in this recipe, which was really bizarre to me, but it doesn't need it. I thought garlic had to go in everything. You don't want a lot of this. This is extremely rich stuff. So a small serving. And what you do is you basically are going to be putting the corn in on top. It's like a garnish. If you wanted to, you can kind of reverse this. Make more of a broth soup with corn here. Add a little bit of the avocado cream as the garnish. So you reverse the soup. What we're going to do is give you guys little cups, and they'll be doing like shooters, okay? So I'm going to put a little bit of corn in, a little bit of soup in, and we'll be doing it that way.
This stuff was indeed very rich, but it'd be a great amuse-bouche to start a dinner party or something. If you love avocados, check out the guacamole recipe we have on our website. Print off all our recipes from eartheats.org. Chef Bob Atkins is now manning the grill for our second recipe. He'll be making a Mexican crema that's tasty enough to spoon over just about anything. This is a great way to enjoy the final few ears of fresh corn from the market.
Okay, so we're going to start with about a half cup of sour cream. A half cup of mayonnaise, you can use, you know, regular mayonnaise. You could use light mayonnaise if you want, no-fat mayonnaise. In that, we're going to put some grated Parmesan, some fresh grated Parmesan right off the giant wheel. Garlic chili paste, it's the red sriracha-style stuff. If you don't have the chili paste, you can use sriracha. About a half lime juiced into there also. A little bright citrus note. We're going to use some cilantro, very classic Central American Mexican herb. Take a whisk to it. This is going to add a really rich, rich coating to your grilled corn, which should be getting pretty close. And I don't know if you can hear it or not.
That's popping. The corn is popping.
It is popping. And it's okay if you get a little charred on one side. You can just leave it out. It bounces out on the other side. You just want to get some nice color to it. Like I said, if you've steamed in advance, you just want to get a little bit of the caramelization to it. You can get it as dark as you want, or you can leave it as light as you want. It also burns off a lot of those little hairs that might have slipped through your fingers during the shucking process. Okay, so we're going to spoon a little bit over the top, and that is your Mexican-style grilled corn.
Let us know how you use this sauce over corn or over veggies or fish. Write a comment on the post at eartheats.org. And make sure to check out the blog while you're there. Our contributors post recipes, commentary on food policy issues, food reviews. It's a fun community. Check it all out at eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.